Hello, everybody, and welcome. We are the Godfathers of Podcasting, and we are broadcasting live. It is 7:03 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It is Tuesday, November 8th, 2022. Of course, we started off the show with a little bit of technical difficulties, but you know what? We just keep on rolling because that's what we do. And, you know, we should have all this stuff figured out by now because it's not our first rodeo, because we've been podcasting since before podcasting was even called podcasting. You can check out the archives of this show on any major podcast provider. And, of course, the video of this show is only available on Godfathers of Podcasting.com, whether we are live like we are right now or you are listening to an watching an archive up on our website. When you're on our website, buy some merchandise. It is this season. Get some stuff for the holidays. All sorts of great stuff up there, including how about a new set of Godfathers of Podcasting pajamas to wake up with on Christmas morning. You can interact with us right now. Send us a text message or get us on WhatsApp. The number is on your screen, 437-375-2000. You can send us questions for us. You can send questions for tonight's guest, who is a favorite on this show. You can do whatever you want. You want to tell us we suck? Feel free. This is episode 114, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Donnie DeSilva, and it is my pleasure to introduce a man who asked me not to mention any of his prior mistakes, misdemeanors, transgressions, desire to kill stupid people, make fun of his appearance in any way. So that's all for me. I'm just kidding. This is my boy, Notorious T.I.D., Chris Tidwell.
Thank you for tuning in, ladies and gentlemen, and good night.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, I mean, it almost turned into one of those. I mean, obviously, we did not do a show last week. It's been a minute, Donnie. How have you been? Good, I just came back. I just came back from the desert. It was nice. It was refreshing. So I had a great time. Las Vegas is still just a trip. And yeah, now I'm back. And it's cold.
Did you do Did you do the touristy thing when you went back home to Las Vegas? And did you do some gambling?
We had another group of people that were down there with us. So for the first couple of days, yeah, we were down on the strip doing that whole thing, and I gambled away $100.
Oof, big spender,
big deal. I don't care. But I did go to Gordon Ramsay's steak for dinner one night.
I've heard mixed reviews about that place. How was it?
So my dish was delicious. We started off, we got this gigantic seafood tower that was great. It was like they had prawns of this that were the size of lobster tails. It was unbelievable. Really good oysters from all over, even some clams. It was quite delicious.
What kind of oysters they have?
Delicious ones. I just got done fucking telling you.
Like West Coast? West Coast American oysters?
Yes, absolutely.
Right. Not my favorite. Right? I'm not going to lie.
No, not my favorite. East Coast, largest, best coast. You know? Well, I don't know about that. I don't think that's
Canadian oysters for the win, baby.
There's some pretty good ones down in the area of New Orleans. I don't know if you're familiar or not.
Maine's got good oysters.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, and these were fantastic. And then I got the Wagyu skirt steak that was absolutely delicious. And a
Chicago style?
Dude, you only do it their style. That's the thing. When it's like they ask you what temperature you want it. And then the rest is like theirs because it comes already fucking, it's a skirt steak, comes already nice and sliced up thin and ready to go. Right. Like it was quite good. It was quite good. Like, couple bottles
like
of wine.
It was like butter.
Yeah. And let's just say that this one will be taking a while to get that one paid off of the old credit card. They called me the next day, actually.
Just the Wagyu alone or the whole trip?
The whole dinner that night at Gordon Ramsay's. It was one of those, they called me the next morning at like 5:30 in the morning to wake me up and were like, sir, did you use your credit card? I'm like, yeah, I just got done telling you it's 5:30 in the morning. I'm in Vegas. They're like, oh, is there a better time to call you? I'm like, no, there's not. There's not a better time. Let's do this right now. So they had to put one of those travel advisory things so they didn't call me every single time I used my credit card. But yeah, Gordon Ramsay's, fantastic restaurant at the Paris. If you get a chance to go down there, bring your credit card and make sure there's room on it.
What would a guy expect to pay for dinner at Ramsay's at that steakhouse? What's a ball? We're talking
200 like, bucks. 200 bucks a head.
Okay, that's not bad.
Then with tip on top of that.
Yeah. There's good steakhouses in Toronto, like STK, Blue Bloods. You're going to spend a lot more than that. So that's actually pretty good.
Yep.
200 American, obviously.
American, yes. 100%, which is it like, you know.
700 Canadian.
141 right now or some shit, right? Like, yeah, it's a little silly. So, but it was good. It was a great time. The country still looks exactly the same, you know. And it was, it will be very soon, not another 4 or 5 years like it was last time before I go back. So
it is on my bucket list.
You have not been
to go. It is on. No, hold on. It's on my bucket list to go to Vegas with you.
Oh, well, that would, then let's do it.
Because I've been to Vegas, but here's the thing. When I went to Vegas, I was there coaching basketball. So, and it was a very compressed timeline. So it was like from Thursday to Sunday, and all I did was hotel, gym, food, hotel, repeat. And that's all I did. And then on the Sunday, my plan was, okay, Sunday I'm going to go do some sightseeing, and I'm going to do all this and that. And we were in the championship game. And we weren't expecting to be in the championship game. We were not. Sunday was only for the championship rounds, right?
Right.
Either the bronze or the gold. We were in the gold medal game. I thought we'd be done Saturday afternoon, Saturday night. And then I'd have Saturday night to go party. I'd have Sunday to go party, and that's it. And then go home. We're in the championship game. So the game's over.
Yeah.
Back to the hotel, eat some food, fly out.
I typically don't go and do the touristy thing, but like I said, we had other people with us. So I was like, cool, let's go do this. I'll show you some stuff, blah, blah, blah. Right. So then they all fly back. I stay down for a few extra days. My cousin plays in a band down there, and he was playing on the Saturday before I left at this Tiki little bar place down there. It's super awesome. Shout out to a band called The New Waves. They actually they do surf music, like surf rock music, but they're all 80s tunes. They're really, really fucking good at it. Really fucking good at it. Yeah. Yeah. So did that time change, of course, last week, right? So they finish off. We go back to his place, you know, because he's going to drive me to the airport in the morning. We start shooting the shit and drinking, and then the time clock goes back, and we're like, oh, we got more time. Next thing you know, it's 5 o'clock in the morning. I got to wake up in 3 hours just to get to the airport to find out that my flight has been delayed. Thank you, WestJet. Shout out to you. Yeah.
I don't understand why daylight savings is still a thing. Can we just get rid of it? Let's just be done with it altogether. You know,
well, it gave me an extra hour of drinking.
Right. And then in the spring, it gives you an hour less of drinking.
Like, that it's just... is not. No, it doesn't.
Okay. All right. I'm over daylight saving.
Me too, dude. Me too. So
listen, folks out there,
man.
If you're watching us now, you can text us 437-375-2000 if you have travel questions on your way to Las Vegas for Tid. You want to know where to eat? You want to know where to not go? Tid's your man.
Absolutely.
All right. So lots going on, Tid. The fact that we didn't do a show last week, and there's just so much going on right now. There's so much in the news. I figured let's go rapid fire through some of these things. And if we don't get to them, maybe we can talk about some of this stuff with our guest tonight.
All right.
Because he's a smart, knowledgeable man. But first off, Election Day in the United States. And this is no small election. It is so significant culturally that the NBA decided to cancel all games for tonight. There are no games in the National Basketball Association because they don't want to contribute to you not going to vote. Obviously, that doesn't apply to people here in this country, in the country of Canada, but down in the US, where there is a really major war going on right now. That this election is focusing on, specifically around women's rights to abortions, being one of the paramount talking points for this election. I think that's fair, right, Tid? that, yeah, it's a big one. And I wanted to sort of throw out a little bit of like background on that subject, because a lot of times, you know, people fall under one of two camps, which is the right that says stop using abortion as birth control. And then people who are on the left who say, well, what if you were, you know, sexually assaulted or raped? Do you think that you should be forced to have a child? And those are both fair, cogent arguments, but there's so much more. And I saw some numbers yesterday online, and I want to share these really quickly in rapid fire succession. 6 out of 10 women who have an abortion already have a child at home, so they know how hard it is to raise another. 92% of abortions happen in the first 13 weeks before scientists recognize that life form as being an independent life form. The overwhelming majority of women who have an abortion after the first trimester do so because of health issues that could kill them. 50% of women who have abortions are below the poverty line and simply cannot afford to raise a child. And do not come at me with this sanctimonious bullshit of, well, if you couldn't afford it, you shouldn't have been fucking. Do you only fuck when you're trying to procreate? If so, come at me, bro. Otherwise, take your sanctimonious bullshit and stuff it somewhere else, because that's not the case.
Here's the thing. You can have your thoughts. You can have your beliefs about what you may think you would do in that situation. And that's fine, because the choice for you then in that situation is to not do that. Right? Right? Mm-hmm. You do not have the right to make that decision for anybody else who's in that position.
100%.
Abortion aside, you don't have the right to do that for anybody. So having your belief about it is fine. Have your belief. Forcing it onto another person is where all of this goes south for me. Right? That and the fact that, I mean, let's be God's honest truth about all of this. Mm-hmm. It probably worked out in my favor in the past.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
There's no little me's running around.
Amen.
Thank you.
Speaking of someone who probably wishes they didn't have a little me running around, John Tyson is the 32-year-old CFO and heir to Tyson Foods. He was arrested on Sunday morning, Mr. Tidwell. You know why? Because he decided to do his best impression of that drunken, coked-out loser from Horrible Bosses, and he fell asleep in the wrong person's house in Fayetteville, Arkansas. Passed out, drunk, intoxicated, all fucked up. The chief financial officer of Tyson Foods, who one day will be the majority owner of Tyson Foods because his great grandfather is the one that founded the goddamn thing. He apparently got all hopped up on plant-based chicken and went out there and crawled into the wrong person's bed.
I don't know if it was plant-based chicken that he was smoking, but yeah, that is never a good thing. Have you ever been that high or that drunk that you've wandered into somebody else's house?
No. You? I feel like the answer is yes.
Yeah, I have.
Legit?
Yeah, absolutely. So like funny Vegas story. They have these like complexes of houses, you know, when you go into these, live in these things, they look exactly the same from like next door to next door. Like there's nothing in the window that's different. It's exactly the same. The only way you can tell is if you get the number right. And sometimes you don't get the number right. And we happen to be in a place where, you know, they had their door unlocked. So yeah,
So
it was very brief. I realized I was in the wrong place and turned around and walked out very quick. Like within as soon as I opened the door and kind of looked, I was like, nah,
this place is clean.
This ain't mine. Turned around, walked out. So yeah, it's happened. It's like walking into the ladies' room.
Right. Okay. Fine. Poorly marked signage. That can happen. But what does
this
come
dude
to
went
mind?
And made this dude went and made a sandwich, turned on the TV, like put his feet up,
rubbed one out.
You know what I'm saying? Like he's falling asleep, petting the dog. Motherfucker doesn't even have a dog in his real house. You know,
the closest I've ever come to that is very similar to what you just described, except I had no excuse. I wasn't drunk. I was not intoxicated in any way, shape, or form.
You were burglarizing somebody?
No. What happened was, and this is, I don't even know if you remember this or if I even told you this because I was so embarrassed at the time. Remember that hot minute when you lived down on River Street in Toronto?
No, hey, shut the fuck up.
Yes. You were there for a hot minute.
Yeah.
I had been to your place once. And then the second time I was going over, I was like, okay, I remember which place is Tid's. And I literally just walked in. And I saw this nice Asian family sitting there, and I'm like, whoa, I'm lost. And I literally just turned around and shut the door behind me.
Yeah, and I feel like that may have happened to them a lot in that neighborhood, though.
I mean, all those houses kind of look the same.
Yeah, ghetto as fuck.
And I was like, man, I was so
that neighborhood. I don't even think that neighborhood's around anymore. With the like the way that it is like changed and grown down there, you know what I mean? I haven't been there
in a while, but it's crazy. Probably all gentrified and turned into like a Starbucks or something. So in other news, other things that I wanted to touch on with you, Mr. Tidwell, there's all sorts of stuff, that is really fascinating, but this one in particular,
all right,
I want to share. We didn't talk about this one ahead of time, so I'm throwing this at you, without prep, which is always my favorite thing to do. In order to do this though, we need to watch a quick video. From YouTube. Let's take a quick peek.
Sakes. If this is an ambush, I'm going to kill you. Oh, okay.
It's happened again. Another sign language interpreter accused of signing total gibberish. This time it was at the police news conference announcing an arrest in the Tampa serial killings.
We will be charging 4 counts of first degree murder.
Standing off to the side, apparently translating every word. This woman.
We received over 5,000 tips in this case.
But it turns out much of what she was signing was nonsense. She waved her arms around like she was singing Jingle Bells, says one outraged sign language expert. The woman, identified as Derlin Roberts, has a string of arrests for fraud. So how did she come to be translating at last week's high-profile police news conference?
I just didn't ask enough questions.
Tampa Public Information Officer Steve Hegarty told me the woman simply showed up out of the blue and offered her services.
That's amazing. She's got like Tupac running in her head. She's just dancing up there, having a good time. I was waiting for her to throw up like gang signs or something like that, like start fucking shimmying or whatever. Like
My favorite one is, especially when you see the 9 mugshots of her. My favorite one is the one where she goes like this and like this. Yeah. She's grabbing her
handcuffs on me like this.
Yeah, it's like foreshadowing.
And she had to think about how do I do number 4 in sign language?
4. Wait, hold on. Let me go back to it for a second just for the visual, because the frozen shot that I have right now, look.
Yeah, this is sign language for this is how much I studied sign language. And the brother behind her, look at this brother behind her with the badge sticking out. He's looking at her like, yo, I don't know. I think I know a little bit of sign language, and I don't know what this bitch is saying.
The Betty Bye symbol.
How did she get busted?
This is the international sign for Steph Curry, by the way. How did she get busted? I think people who actually needed the service of sign language while watching this very high profile case were probably going, what the fuck is going on?
Oh my goodness. That
and is they incredible. All called in and said, hello, this is some bullshit.
Well, I don't think they sounded like that.
How stupid. How stupid does that police department look? How stupid does that chief look? I didn't ask enough questions.
No.
How about where a was background this again?
Florida?
Check? Yeah.
Florida.
Yeah.
That Florida? Like the United States of America, Florida? Well, that explains everything. That's almost as silly as, like, you would expect that to happening, man. You know what? I could see that as a betting line, just like with the politics going on in the States right now. You can bet on these things, on who's going to win. That is an incredible thing to me. The only problem that I found out, because I might have looked, you can't parlay them. Can't parlay any of the political bets. You know what I mean? So yeah, it was a little upsetting.
Did you lay any juice?
No, the odds are all crazy, man. So that's why you got to parlay it to put it together so you can make a little bit of scratch on it, right?
I guess you got to go like into a, I guess you got to go into like, you got to go into a red state and bet on blue to really make some money, right?
Yeah. And even then, the line ain't worth it.
No,
the juice ain't worth the squeeze, brother.
What are the prop bets related to the election?
Dude, they didn't have any. I would have been all for it, though, you know?
Well, there, like, should be some good prop bets for the election.
At least one governor gets, you know, a hit put out on him within the first 24 hours of winning or something.
I was listening to the Howard Stern show this week.
Oh, yeah.
He had a great segment on there, Tid. I'm going to find the audio and send it to you. And it was a game that they played, and it was who said it. And then Howard would read a quote, and the people playing, Robin Quivers and whoever else, they had to guess whose quote it was. Herschel Walker.
Okay.
Running for U.S. Senate or a member of Howard Stern's WAC pack. And you know what?
It was always Herschel Walker.
It wasn't always, but oh. You couldn't tell the difference.
Wow. Yeah, that doesn't surprise me. That he is. What was the last one that I heard? Something to the effect, and I'm paraphrasing, that he will, even if you are a Martian, he will stick up for you in his state because you're part of his family. Oh, man. Herschel. I mean, CTE is a real thing, brother.
I saw this one where he said, you know, I'm here for the people, and I'm not like one of them other ones, because, you know, they want me to go and have lunch and I don't have lunch, and they want me to go for supper, but I don't have supper, and because I'm for the people and I don't do that. Like, what?
Yeah. Yeah. It's like he's putting
people lunch, Tid.
Well, it's like he's putting together sentences in bullet forms. And making them one sentence. You know what I mean? Like he means to say is, you know, they're inviting me to go to these luncheons and I don't have time to go to these luncheons with these people because I'm working for you. And they're inviting me to go to these suppers, but I don't have time to go to these suppers with these people because I'm busy working for you, which is probably in his head what he thought he was saying. But what came out was, I'm Herschel Walker.
Less than a little bit polished, I would say.
Yeah,
is the best way to describe him.
That needed a rewrite.
In other news across the world right now, it is a story that's making all kinds of headlines, Tid, and it is the one big mess surrounding star point guard Kyrie Irving. Kyrie Irving is like a walking hurricane. For the last six seasons, he has been on teams that had a chance to win an NBA championship every single year. And every single one of those 6 years, he has not won an NBA championship. And he has led directly or indirectly to the implosion of that team. You go back to his last season in Cleveland, when Cleveland was one of the favorites to win an NBA title, and he demanded a trade. He goes to Boston, a team that was already very good without him. When he gets there, All he's saying is, I want to re-sign here. I want to play my whole career here. By the end of the season, he's talking shit about Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown about how they don't know how to play basketball or share the ball. And then, you know, he's injured and they go on a run without him. They don't want him. He's a cancer in the locker room. They get rid of him. He goes to Brooklyn. Immediately, Brooklyn is considered one of the favorites again to win an NBA championship. Doesn't go anywhere. In fact, the team finishes with a below 500 record and does worse than they did the year before without him, when they didn't have any star players. He gives press conference after press conference talking about how the young guys on the team are no damn good.
Yeah, but that ain't what's getting him in the news.
Last year, he sabotages his team by refusing to get vaccinated, sits out the majority of the season, and as a result, forces the team to go make the trade for James Harden because they know they can't count on Kyrie Irving. So they mortgage off all their best young players to bring in James Harden, and they bring in a guy named Ben Simmons who looks like he forgot how to play basketball. So that team is in a complete shitstorm right now. And then on top of everything else,
what?
And there's more. I'm highlighting what? The Kyrie hits. But on top of everything else, he decides last week to publish a link on Twitter for a movie that has high tones of anti-Semitism. And he puts this link to this movie up on his Twitter. Mm-hmm. A member of the media asks him about it, and he gets offended at the use of the word promoting, saying, I'm not promoting, I just posted the link. Well, that is promoting. When you've got 30 million followers and you're posting a link, you're promoting it. And he doesn't seem to understand that. So not only does he not acquiesce, not only does he not apologize, he lashes out at this reporter, accusing the reporter of just trying to get Instagram famous with a clip where he's trying to make Kyrie look bad. The owner of the Brooklyn Nets, Joe Tsai, then spends the next 5 days. This is according to Adrian Wojnarowski, the best NBA reporter in the business. Joe Tsai spends the next 5 days trying to call and text message Kyrie Irving to discuss the situation and figure out how they can resolve it. Guess what Kyrie does when the man who pays his checks is calling and texting? Ignores him.
Well, I was going to guess that.
So Joe Tsai has been telling people within the organization, I'm out of the Kyrie Irving business. Kyrie Irving was suspended, and the wording was interesting. No less than 5 days. It doesn't mean 5 days. All these fans are like, he's going to be back in 5 days. It says no less than 5 days. He may not be back, period. The Brooklyn Nets gave a list of conditions that Kyrie must meet in order to come back, including apologizing and all these other things, donating, community service, blah, 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 blah. There seems to be a huge division amongst people saying this isn't fair. You know, he's being punished for posting a link and it wasn't even that bad and all this. Man, you can argue all you want about whether or not the punishment is fair. And you can argue all you want about whether or not what he did was that big a deal. But to me, Tid, you're talking about a guy who year after year after year after year has one major team-destroying issue after another. And then when the boss, when the guy who pays him calls him on the phone for 5 days and says, Kyrie, let's find a way to talk this out. How are we going to manage this in the public eye? And he ignores him. I'm sorry. I'm out. I'm out. I can't defend this guy no more. I'm out.
Yeah. There's got to be a certain clause in everybody's contracts.
A stupid clause.
No matter who you are. No, that says, prevents you from doing stupid shit. And this falls under the don't do stupid shit clause, because the NBA is trying to have a certain image. At the end of the day, you have a job working for the NBA. Where you go is up to the owners of these teams. They trade you, they move you around. But at the end of the day, you work for the NBA. So they have an image to uphold. And do you understand how many people would give their left fucking nut to play in the NBA? Listen, I guarantee you there's going to be another Kyrie Irving out there anywhere that they can use in that position. He's not doing them any favors. He's lucky to have a job. So clearly you follow you follow the practices of the job that you have, or you don't have that job anymore. Simple.
It's just, we're going to get to our guest who's waiting backstage. I'm just going to say this. I think it's interesting how this has turned in the eyes of many pundits and many fans, how this has turned into a race issue.
Sure. Why not? But let's break it down to its base thing. It's about a job. And he did not adhere to the standards and practices of the job that he agreed to do. And he's being punished for that. Right? Amazon put this movie up there. It's out there for people to see.
Right. And then people want to jump
for him.
People want to jump to, well, why aren't you getting mad at Jeff Bezos for having it on Amazon?
He doesn't work for the NBA.
Right.
I mean, it's pretty
simple. When did I say I like Jeff Bezos?
You know what I mean? Apparently, hey, he's going to be interested in buying the Washington Commanders, apparently.
Yeah, we'll talk about that. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time right now for the big hello. And this week's guest, hello. He's a favorite around these parts. He's been on this show several times. We love having him back. He's originally from the Bronx, decided winners suck, and living on the West Coast was just so much smarter. That being said, I've still not received any invitations to his compound and would greatly appreciate one sometime between December and February when the temperature here drops to 30 degrees below stupid. Now, we've discussed this man's background many, many times before, from boxing champion to police officer to incredible stand-up, and now an award-winning writer, producer, and director. In his past appearances on this show, he's offered some great life advice, like with so many wonderful people dying young, you should probably just punch a baby and hedge your bets. He's one of the original Latin kings of comedy. Ladies and gentlemen, he's a huge star from here to Argentina. He's done every job except for ballerina. Can't make me rat him out, even with a subpoena. Never turn on him. Stay neutral like Geneva. These long-ass intros give me emphysema. Everyone loves him, including my prima Lina. Now give it up to our boy, the hilarious award-winning Joey Medina.
Dude, that was nice, man. Look at that.
I literally...
You remember Cajun Man, the Adam Sandler bit that he used to do?
Oh yeah, you
know? Yeah.
That's Donnie's version of it. That right there is pretty much what it is.
How you guys doing, man?
We're good brother. Man. How are you?
Good. You know, just doing the same old, man. Working hard, and it was raining a lot here in LA today, so that was weird. The whole street, my street's all closed because they're shooting a big film. Down the block, and it's like literally they've got three houses they're working with. There's like fake police cars and SWAT trucks everywhere, and yeah, it's a big production. I don't know what movie it is yet, but I want to find out. I definitely want to check it out.
Yeah, you just walk right into the craft service there.
Yeah, since I'm a filmmaker, I just want to go steal some of their film equipment. That's what I want to do.
Wow. Like a Latino film producer right there. Huh? I don't want to pay for it, but it is really nice. So let's see if I can appropriate this.
Yeah, they won't even miss it.
Not steal, Joey. Appropriate.
They just write it off and get another one, right, Joey?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
they won't miss it.
That's amazing.
Last time we talked, your film, which was winning awards everywhere, Beautiful Violence, it was up to 63 awards. Where is it at now, Joey?
Take a guess.
Double that?
Pretty much, 124.
Holy shit. And so for reference, the last time we spoke to Joey on this show was back in February. So the amount of recognition, the festivals that you've been entered in, and everything else in between. Holy shit, man. Like, that's gotta feel amazing, right?
Yeah, it feels good. But you know, like, I felt, it's funny, it was doing, you know, it's doing really well, and I'm really I feel humble for it. You know, it's like, I'm like sure. really happy, but I have other projects that I didn't put into a lot of festivals, and maybe they won one or two. Then I have, you know, I had maybe another project that didn't win anything. And I'm like, you know what, let me resubmit these or put them in other festivals. And now they're all winning too. And I even did I've only made one wedding video my whole life. It was my niece. She wanted me to do it for her as her gift. So I really went all out and made it something amazing. And so I was looking for a film festival to put it in, and I put it in four, and I just got back notice. I won three of them so far. The other one I don't know if I'm going to win yet, but I've won three out of the four so far that I've won with that wedding video. So that's so awesome. That was pretty cool.
That's awesome.
Pretty wild, dude. What's the other one that you've been, what's the other one that you've been resubmitting? Is it that?
One called The Lesson, which is really, really good. I actually like it more than the film that's winning all the awards. Okay. And I think it's a better film. And then also my sitcom pilot called Man of a Funny Age. And so that's been winning, like, you know, for shows, for sitcom pilot and for comedy, this and series and all that. But the last one I won for best acting because I star in the film. So, or in the pilot, and I won for best acting. So that was weird. I didn't expect to win an acting award. So that was, but I had a good director. So I think that's why I won.
If I remember, those projects are both a few years old, right?
Yeah. So not every festival you can put older stuff in. And so I only put them in stuff in festivals that you could put older films in.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah. So, you know, we'll see what happens. But
Joey, it's always fun. Have you thought lately, because I wanted to ask you this because you're a comic. That's where you know what I mean? That's what got you to where you are, right? And there's a lot of guys that are putting out comedy specials. You have this uniqueness of being able to make really cool looking films. Have you thought about putting the two and two together and, you know, doing your own comedy special? Are you still writing comedy?
Oh yeah.
Or are you just focusing? Are you just focusing? Like, are you still doing stand up stuff?
Yeah. And I actually shot, like three specials. Not a solo one for me. I've done three specials that were two I was in, one I was hosting, the other one I was actually just performing in, and then the third one I just directed and produced it. So I've thought about it. It's just nowadays, like there's so many ways to do it. When I do it, I just want to do it right. You know, so like, for instance, I was having this conversation not too long ago with people. Most specials that you're used to, it's shot in a theater and an arena. But, you know, there are comics out there who've been, I forgot who it was, shot one in their living room. I think even Kevin Hart did something like that.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking, okay, let me think out of the box. You know, I even thought of the other day, I said, maybe I'll do one in a, like on a party bus. You know, and that we'll just stop different places and do stand up there. Like so my thing is this: once I come up with a really good, unique idea, I think I'll probably do it.
Airplane.
What?
On the middle of an airplane, just walking up and down the aisle.
No, a Cessna with only three other passengers.
Yeah, I mean, and I'll just put a laugh track in there. It won't matter.
You know what? Speaking of that, I watched, a while back, a few months ago now, I watched Norm Macdonald's last special, which was done over Zoom. And it's like him by himself. They put it out on Netflix. I love Norm so much, but that was hard to watch.
Yeah. See, that's the thing, is it still has to be, you know, watchable, and it still has to have some kind of entertainment value. Being funny is not good enough. Zoom has never been great for stand-up comedy. It really hasn't. And, you know, to do something like that, it's just very difficult. And it's not, it just seems like someone telling a joke in a square, man. You know, it's not very entertaining at all.
Especially when your style of comedy is like Norm's, right? Where it's so based on making the audience uncomfortable, and it's so based on like, just going off in on a tangent that you weren't expecting and reading the reactions of people. So it kind of just felt like canned, and it was really tough. And I loved Norm Macdonald's comedy, one of my all-time favorites. When you sit back and just see what's going on in the news, Joey, does it just make you want to get up on stage somewhere ASAP? Because I feel like the news lately just writes bits.
Oh, yeah. You know,
like just constant stuff that's going on lately that you just go, come on.
Yeah, and you know, I mean, that's and good comedy comes from reality, right? And it comes from real stuff that's out there. And even though like all the political stuff is, you know, driving me crazy. And I probably have a lot to say, but I try not to get too political because it's just, you know, especially now, before people, you know, you can talk about one side and the other and everybody was still okay with it. Now it's, you know, they hate you forever if you don't like the side that they're on. And that's kind of just weird.
Hold on. You don't get too political. 2 days ago on Instagram, you posted a photo of some guy's beat up pickup truck with some Bible thumper with all kinds of like Psalms and Proverbs and shit written all over it. And your
that's religious.
Your caption was hashtag vote.
Yes. Yeah. No, I said, cause he's, I said, this person, well, it was already on there. I said, this guy's going to vote. So you should too.
You know, you're not kidding.
And
you did get out and vote today. We talked about the election a little bit earlier. Obviously, we're a little bit removed. Tid was just down in Vegas a few days ago, but we're up here in Toronto and we're removed from the election. What's the temperature like down there? How like explosive does the situation feel to you? Like this feels like a very this feels like a volatile election.
Yeah, because the funny thing is this, and this is the reality of this election, okay? If Democrats lose, they're going to say Republicans won. If Republicans lose, they're going to say the election was stolen.
Right.
And that's something that Trump opened the Pandora's box in, and now it's everybody's using it. Oh, people can't lose anymore, right? Or at least that's I'm a Democrat, and the thing is this, I hate that Democrats always play by the rules. And Republicans don't. And that's why they always, you know, they get hit all the time hard. And it's like, I think if in my mind, if the Republicans want to be assholes, then we should be assholes. And see, you know, see how they like that. For, you know, anytime there's any kind of drama with a Democrat, you know, they're asked to leave. Oh, you got to retire. You got to leave. You can't. There's too much drama. You know, but no matter what a Republican does,
they say four more years.
Yeah. Yeah. No kidding. They back them up. They're like, well, we don't know we haven't heard about that. It's, well, we don't know. And they just take care of their own. And we don't, we police our own, which is the right thing to do, but it's not helping. Sometimes
thankfully there are still heroes, down in places like Houston. I don't know if you saw this one at the World Series. You see this one at the World Series parade after the Astros win.
Oh, yeah.
Ted Cruz decided to invite himself to the parade, and somebody was like, "Hey, Teddy, have a beer," and launched a can, hit him right square in the chest and stuff. Oh. I mean, that guy got arrested because they didn't understand the mission, right?
Yeah.
But, couldn't have happened to a nicer guy, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, Ted Cruz is an asshole.
Right? No, he's pretty much the entire ass.
Yeah,
it's a shame that he felt that he needed to hijack the World Series parade too. You know what I mean? You had to know what was going to happen.
Yeah,
you had to know.
And my thing is this: I don't have anything against someone who's thinks differently from me or a Republican. I just think that some people, and actually I feel bad for a lot of them because I think they've been hoodwinked, right? They've been, you know, what is it called? I can't find the word right now, but yeah, they've been pretty much hypnotized into this cult.
Yeah.
And it's, I feel bad for them.
And it's not like the good old days when cults were cool.
You know what I mean? This new cult is way worse, right? Those old fashioned 70s cults from California, like the Moonies and shit. Those, they knew how to have fun at least.
Yeah, no, these cults are, this is
they're dangerous. Yeah, they're dangerous, man.
Mm-hmm. It's so weird to me, man. Like anytime I see stuff online where someone starts complaining about being too woke, I'm like, next. Really, what are we complaining about when we're saying, oh, you're woke? What are we complaining about? I care about people's rights. I don't think racism is okay. I you know, like some of this stuff is just crazy to me. And then, you know, the left, they don't do themselves any favors, Joey, when you see people that come out and apparently get offended about things that no one should get offended about. You know, there was a thing I saw on TikTok the other day. There's a band that is super famous up here in Canada. I'm not sure if you've ever heard of them, Joey, called Walk Off the Earth. And they are famous for doing cover songs of big, you know, pop songs. And they do them with all kinds of bizarre instruments you've never seen before, like a guitar that takes four people to play or whatever, right? And they're super entertaining and they're fun. So they did a song recently. It was like a big pop song. And the woman in the band is playing a didgeridoo. And the TikTok and the YouTube comments explode with people going, you stupid white bitch. Don't you know white women can't touch a didgeridoo? Women aren't even allowed to play it. It's forbidden. It's against their culture. This is misappropriation. And it's like, that's the fight you want to have? That women aren't allowed to play an instrument? That's what you're defending?
Yep.
That it's wrong to play an instrument? And I'm thinking
it'd be pretty...
What are we doing?
It'd be pretty easy to find out who wrote it, because I'm pretty sure that there's only like seven people in the entire world that play a fucking didgeridoo. Like, it'd be really easy to track that person down.
But right? There's millions of comments like this online. And like this band that has always had this very wholesome image is now being talked about in circles of cancel them. And I'm like, this is where the left shoots themselves in the foot. We can't get upset over shit like this.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think, you know, the cancel culture is gone too far. You know, the whole political correctness has gone too far. Oh. And, you know, where comics now are getting attacked on stage or, you know.
Yeah.
And you're right. It's just the right is a lot worse. Right? I mean, it's obvious. The right is just way worse. But. And I'd rather have those problems than the other problems. I mean, you know, I'd rather have the problems that the Democrats have than the other problems. But, yeah, man, it's really hard to be an artist. It's really hard. But now that everybody can say anything they want online, and sometimes it's like you can't even argue. You can't. You just have to hopefully just blows over because you just will keep it going on forever and ever. And it's just ridiculous.
Do you find yourself having to pull back on some of the stuff that you might be writing because do you ever feel like you're in one of those like weird in between spots right now? Because as a comedian, as a Latino comedian who has projects out, you know, we won't bring up the Vampire Projects again.
I was going to say,
you know what I'm saying? Like, right. Like, but you find yourself as you're trying to write new stuff, you know what I mean? For your films, like, do you ever find yourself like having to pull some stuff back and then looking back at it later going, fuck, I should have just thrown it in there the way that I originally thought. You know what I mean?
No, I think the closest thing I do is, you know, and I've always done this anyway, but now I think I probably do it more where I try to read the audience and there's certain jokes. I'm like, okay, I can't do this. I won't do this joke because this audience seems too much of this or too much this way or too much that way. And, but I think that's smart to do anyway. I mean, to do not just because of the climate, but, you know, if you're doing a corporate gig, you may not do certain jokes, right? If you're doing a gig with a bunch of older people, you may not do certain jokes. If you're doing a gig with a certain minority, you may not do certain jokes. So I'll do things like that.
Unless you're Ari Shaffir.
Yeah, then you don't care, right?
We got a text message at 437-375-2000. It says, please ask Joey if he heard the story that you guys talked about in the first half of the show about the woman who faked the sign language. Did you hear this story about the woman in Florida?
I heard a little bit of it online, but I haven't heard it when you guys talking, no.
So let me, I'm not going to play the whole clip again, but I'll share the video while we talk over it. And I won't play the audio, but take a look here, Joey. This is a woman who has five prior arrests for fraud, who somehow talked her way into a high profile murder trial as the sign language interpreter. And she doesn't know sign language.
That's hilarious.
She's just fucking around. And the police chief, when asked about this, you know, they got a whole ton of complaints and they said, how did this happen? His response was, I didn't ask enough questions.
You know what his question was? His question was, do you know sign language?
Exactly. Look at all the
mugshots. That was it. What the fuck is the follow-up question? Show me some sign language. He doesn't know fucking sign exactly. language. So how's he going to know if it's right or wrong?
Yeah, I think, you know, I mean, yeah, like, I mean, can we find on Craigslist or like, you know, like,
yeah. Right?
Just, would, did they go on, you know, yeah, it was just weird. It's just, what's that, Task Rabbit or like, you know, fucking Angie's List? Like, how'd they find her, man?
Yeah, it's called, could you imagine? Like, what is a follow-up question to that?
How brazen, how brazen do you have to be to have a half dozen prior arrests for fraud, walk into a police station and go, yeah, I know sign language.
Yeah, that's
right. That's the perfect suspect shit.
The perfect question.
Kaiser Sose shit.
They should have just asked her, have you seen the movie Coda? And if she said no, then she doesn't know what she's doing.
That's so crazy to me.
Oh my goodness.
So what, I know you're always busy. What's on the front burner right now with your projects? You have comedy always ongoing. What are you currently shooting? What are you currently working on? What are you currently writing? Because I'm I was listening back to the last time you were on the show and you had a couple projects on the front burner that sounded so freaking cool. I'm wondering where those are at and what else you got cooking.
Well, right now I'm currently we're producing a game show called Funny You Should Ask, and that's it's syndicated, so it plays pretty much everywhere, different city, different networks and stuff. And then there's new short film that I wrote. I don't remember if we talked about it before, called Buddy and the Man, and it's about a Vietnam veteran
with the dog.
Yeah, with the dog.
Yeah, where's that project at right now?
That's I'm still trying to look for the right dog. It's just very difficult, and but I'll get it, and I'll, you know, I'm just trying to find different ways to find the right dog. Once we cast a dog, then everything should be pretty set after that.
You know, I could be like Andy Serkis, and I could be the dog, and then you just CGI on top of me. I'll be a great dog.
We'll put you in a green screen suit and just.
Yeah, dude, I can be man's best friend and be like, hey, dude, take the radiation.
You just want you don't just die. You just want to lick your own balls on camera again. That's really what it comes down to.
Again, we're not going to talk about my 20s. It was a rough patch.
That's his only fan page.
That's right.
Yeah, that's awesome, dude. So. Okay, so you haven't started shooting that project yet.
No, but as soon as we cast the dog, I will, and that'll be fun. I can't wait to do it. I think that's going to be I wrote it because I want to win, or not necessarily win, but I want to be at least nominated for an Oscar film or an Oscar for a short film.
Yeah,
and I think this is the kind of story that usually gets nominated. So. That's why I'm doing it specifically, to be honest.
Now, remind me, this one's not a short.
No, this is a short.
Oh, it is a short. Okay, yeah. Sorry.
So, short films do get nominated for Oscars as well.
Yeah, yeah. And are you in this one or no?
No, no. Okay. The only time I ever put myself in anything is if I want to play something, and I usually don't. I don't. I'm not one of these There's a lot of actors that, or a lot of directors that are really actors only, and they put the reason they direct something is so they can star in something.
It's because they're not getting booked anywhere else.
Yeah, pretty much, you know. And it's like the comics that book comedy rooms because they don't get booked anywhere else, you know. And so, yeah. But I'm not that kind of filmmaker.
Oh no! What happened to Joey?
Well, there we go. I'm a good enough director to know not to cast me in certain things.
Joey, another question that just came in, 437-375-2000 from a member of the audience. It says, hey, Joey, I'm a huge fan of yours. I wanted to know, with all the comedians right now being banned off of Twitter because Elon Musk gets to decide what's funny, will you be one of the many that plans to leave Twitter?
I'm not necessarily planning to leave, but I don't mind if I do, because I really don't use Twitter or like Twitter that much. Mm-hmm. You know, I think Twitter is a lot of people use it just to talk shit.
Exactly.
You know, exactly. So I'm like,
right.
I'm like, if I leave Twitter, or like, the only reason I put stuff on Twitter is just connected to my other stuff. Platforms. So like, if I put something on Instagram, it automatically goes to Twitter. But I never really go into Twitter at all unless someone specifically tries to contact me on Twitter, and then I'll see what's going on. But other than that, I don't.
What's funny about it to me is when Elon Musk got in this whole thing and he said he wanted to take up the Twitter reins, his whole focus was on free speech.
Exactly.
And then we realized it wasn't about free speech. It was about speech that I agree with. And that seems to be a prevailing sentiment, not just in the United States, but everywhere right now. Yeah. We want free speech, but really what we mean is we want you to agree with us, and exactly. We want to be free to say what we want to say. What you want to say, if we don't agree with it, get rid of it. And that's really what it comes down to. The number of comedians who've taken this whole thing where they change, I don't know if you know about this, Tid, they're changing their username on Twitter to Elon Musk and then tweeting shit out as if they are Elon Musk.
Yeah.
And Sarah Silverman was one. Fantastic. And they're getting banned and suspended from Twitter. Daniel Radcliffe got banned from Twitter the other day. Like, this whole thing is crazy to me.
And you know, it's funny. It's like certain people say the craziest, most horrible, harmful things.
Right.
And they don't get banned.
Right.
But God forbid you make fun of Elon Musk, then, you know, you're done.
Do not make fun of the Supreme Leader.
As a comedian, the thing that you do, your bread and butter, you know what I mean? But listen, at the end of the day, it's not really going to be a site or a platform for free speech if he's going to start charging people a subscription fee to use it or to pay for their
not free at all
or whatever it is. And that is not free at all.
Free speech is going to cost $8 a month.
Along with your blue check.
You know what I'm saying?
How funny is that too, right? His comment the other day when Stephen King was like, $8 to keep my blue check, go fuck yourself.
Yeah, I know.
and Elon Musk is saying, look, we have to monetize somehow. So, you know, here's a billionaire, richest man on the planet, begging people for money. And he's like, it has to be $8 a month. And then he's saying, we're going to add a paywall so people can post videos and then you can pay to watch the video. Within 6 months, Twitter will be OnlyFans. That's what's going to happen. Twitter's going to turn into OnlyFans. You know, all of this is just going to, I think he's realized, you know, $40 billion, a lot of money. Like, what was I thinking?
you know, well,
especially he keeps having kids.
Yeah, no kidding. It's weird, man. It's I think that was a why buy Twitter? I think he's ruining it. And I saw an interview today where I guess they spoke to someone who worked at Twitter and said that the person from Twitter said that Twitter was built on sticks and it's gonna come down. Mm-hmm. And you never know. I mean, look, MySpace is gone. You know what I mean?
That was all about free speech.
Yeah.
Tom didn't give no shits about what he did on MySpace.
We really he was always
there to just be your friend.
We really mistreated Tom.
Right?
Poor Tom.
You know, I want Tom
out
back.
When, he got out when it was good. He knew what was up.
He saw the writing on the wall.
Fucking Tom.
Joey, thanks so much, dude, for taking some time out. I'm super excited about your upcoming projects. The vet and the dog. I mean, that shit is going to be a tearjerker that wins all the Oscars.
And I hope so.
I'm excited to see that shit. And yeah, dude.
Is it big dog, little dog, medium-sized dog?
It's a chihuahua.
You know what I mean? Long hair.
It's going to be, I don't know. It's like, I just want the dog to look very like bad. Like, and I love dogs. I love dogs so much, but I know when I look at videos or pictures and stuff of dogs that, you know, have been abused or dogs that are hungry or bait dogs that were, you know, fighting dogs, man, I tear up. It's so hard to see it. And that's the kind of emotion and reactions I want in my film. So I want the dog to look as beat up as possible. And I know it sounds horrible to say, but it's, and I'm even thinking if I don't get a dog like that, I'm probably going to get another dog, but also use a little bit of CGI on the dog to have the dog possibly missing an eye or something like that. And I just want people to see that this kind of character, that this person who's adopting this dog sees through all that. Because, you know, people won't adopt a dog just because the dog is deformed a little or something's wrong with him or he's missing a leg. And I think that's horrible, man.
I was going to say, yeah, Ted, you've got that's your business. You've got a whole bunch of dogs up at the house.
I've got a three-legged dog. I've got a dog that the front legs don't even work, so he's built like a hot rod. I've got a dog that has no eyes and walks around like a Roomba, like just bounces into walls, right? I've got a long-haired Chihuahua with a hair lip all the way up to here. Motherfucker looks like Cheech Marin, but it's a girl.
Joey's seeing dollar signs. Joey's like, wait a minute, send me videos.
This is what I'm saying, Joey Lee. This is what I'm saying. Like, what kind of dog you need? Because I might have you hooked up, brother. This is what I'm saying.
Dude, all of them. I love you more now. Knowing that you adopted those, you know, rescued those dogs. I think that's freaking amazing, man. You are a hero. You really are. That's hero stuff right there, man.
Thank you, brother. We have eight of them here right now. So, you know, and they are not going anywhere. So, yeah, you can go on Instagram and check it out at Camp Tidwell. You'll see a bunch of them that come through. My wife does amazing stuff there. So
she does.
Yeah, that's our own little thing. So awesome. Cool. Joey, thank you so much, man. Thank you so much.
Well, anytime. Yeah, I love you guys. You guys are awesome. And I love, you know, every time you open up that wrap, I think it's dope.
So two things on my, well, three things that we learned that are on my bucket list this week. One, I need to go to Las Vegas with Tid. Two, I need still, as we talked about on a previous interview with Joey, I need to find myself, I don't care if it's a 5-second walk-on, I need to get into a Joey Medina picture.
Yes.
And three, I want to spend at least one warm day on the West Coast at Joey Medina's place when it's not snowing, when it's snowing up here in Canada. Okay. Just one day. So three things on my bucket list that I've shared with the audience this week. And I've only got a month to live. So let's try and
we'll try to make that quick.
I'm very sick. I'm very sick.
It's tremendous.
Thanks, Joey. Appreciate your time, brother.
All right, guys. You too, man. Take care.
All right. Joey Medina, everybody, check him out online. You can find him on Instagram. You can find all his information. We'll have it all posted up on the Godfathers of Podcasting.com.
His dog, you noticed that at the end there, his dog was like, yo, you said this was going to be 20 minutes. This is longer than 20 minutes. Come on, get to the petting. I got to go outside. Let's do something. Dad.
I thought the dog was pissed because Joey's trying to find another dog. It's like, what about me? Right. I could be a star. What about me?
That's amazing. Ted, good to talk to Joy.
Any last second thoughts before we wrap this one up for the night?
I gotta pee.
I wanted to ask you very quickly before we wrap. Do you think Do you think this Jeff Bezos purchase of the Commanders in Washington is going to go through?
Well, I mean, he's meeting with the right people to make it happen. It was him and Jay-Z getting together. I mean, yeah. what they're asking for, what are they asking? $7 billion is what's his name? Dan Snyder is looking to try to get for this thing. And listen, that's a little overinflated if you ask me for that team, because they are hot trash in the best division in football right now. They are the worst of it. But
well, not to mention, is there not a discount for all of the negative press they've had? Like, I get it. They're no longer the team that they used to be, and they're now the Commanders, right. Which, by the way, is a horrible name. They could have done better. But
everybody knows that Jay Muse is the only Commander out there.
They've had so much bad press, and they're still worth that much? That's shocking to me.
It's got to be they're carrying a whole lot of big fucking debt. You know what I mean? Or he's looking, or Dan Snyder's like, listen, if I can get rid of it, I'm going to get rid of it at a profit.
Sure.
Right. I'm going to try to take a loss on it. So maybe he's throwing it out there. They start off at 7. They finish off at, you know, 5, 4.5, 5. Everybody walks away a little happy.
But I bet you they're carrying some big debt. If you're Jay-Z and Bezos, though, don't you kind of feel like you're negotiating against yourself? Because who else is coming forward trying to buy this sucker? You know?
Who knows?
I would lowball the fuck out of them.
Yeah. I don't know.
Like, maybe I'll give you a weekend in my timeshare and, and $20 million.
Yeah, I'll let you keep your seat up in the box.
Yeah. One seat. Yeah.
That's one. Yeah, no guest.
No guest. Thanks, one Tig. Drink ticket.
All right, brother.
A lot of fun, folks. My name is Donnie DeSilva. That's Notorious TID. This is 114 in the books. Thanks to Joey Medina. Thanks to all of you. We'll see you next time.
Deuce.
Fuck this shit, I'm out. Mm-mm. Fuck this shit, I'm out.
No thanks.
Don't mind me, I'ma just grab my stuff and leave. Excuse me, please. Fuck this shit, I'm out.
Nope.
Fuck this shit, I'm out.
Alright then.
I don't know what the fuck just happened, but I don't really care. I'ma get the fuck up out of here.
Fuck this shit, I'm out.